You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassius for IFL TV in association with MTK Global, one of IFL TV's favourites, regulars, Mr. Callasowlan, the Don himself. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, Coogan. I'm very well. Our first virtual meeting of the year, you and me. Just the way I like it, you know. It looks like you've just crawled out of bed in Barbados somewhere or something. But I'm locked down in London. So
I assure you, I'm not in Barbados. I am in Essex. The sun has just like...
You're certainly dressed for the occasion.
I know.
I'm saving on the heating bills. So, you know, I'm all cardiganed up today. By the way, thank you very much for making me the pin-up boy of IFL's review of 2020. I'm glad to see that we went viral with our midnight clip. You know,
absolutely.
The comments. Absolutely. I've got to say, sorry, Coog. I've got to say, the comments are, you know, they inspire me to do more pieces with you. You know, I sit there honestly, and it's not self love because some of the comments are so off key. I definitely hope my kids aren't reading them, but they're so funny. You know, and you know, some of them, it was a mad evening, wasn't it? Because I flew in, we did it on my balcony looking over West London somewhere. It was a late night job. I've got off a plane. We both definitely had, we didn't have any rum and cokes before. And it was such a genuine reaction because you caught me cold. That moment when you said to me about that fight about Mayweather, well, let's not talk about it too much again. We've been there, done that. But you did catch me totally cold. And it was such an honest reaction. So it was funny seeing the comments. I'm happy that 98% thought my reaction, despite being a little bit X-rated, was the right one. But it was a genuine reaction. I've been traveling out there. I had not heard about these rumours and whatever it was. So it was a genuine reaction. And it was one of our memorable moments, Coog. You know, so a nice reminder of 2020 for me.
Absolutely. Calla, I'm just going to say, your laptop, do you want to put it up by an inch? Just flip the screen an inch up. That's it.
Yeah.
So we can get Paul Barnett in. So, Calla, I obviously messaged you a few times over Christmas. You kept this one very close to your chest, but it was a huge surprise that yourselves and Team Sowland announced the signing of Chris Eubank Jr. So, talk to me about how this came along.
Well, you know, I'm less active these days with Team Sowland. I'm obviously a shareholder there, and it's but this is, you know, when they asked me my help on, was more than happy to oblige. I have a great relationship with Senior and the whole team, you know, John Wishusen and obviously Junior. And I think, you know, it's one of those ones, and Team Sowland over the years has thrown up these things in the UK. You know, if you go past, you know, when we signed up with David Hay, you know, we had a fantastic run co-promoting David Hay for many years. Some great events. Obviously, George Groves, I think it was a week before the Wembley fight. Okay, that was a tougher challenge because we expected him to beat Froch that night. He didn't, but that happens in boxing. But we stuck together as a team and went on to become world champions. And you know, we've had other success stories as well. I look at Del Boy. I think we did great stuff with Del. You know, put some great fights on with Derek as well. And I think it's, you know, also with Pricey, you know, it didn't work out that way sporting-wise, but it was also a fun cooperation. We're still very good friends today. And we've had that success in the UK. And I think that, you know, Eubank is for me one of the best marketable UK boxing assets out there. without a shadow of a doubt. You look at his following. Yes, he's Marmite. You don't all love him. You don't all weigh him. It's in between. But you need to go out there and fight now. It's about turning the engine on. And everyone looks at him and sees this, you know, guy who loves, you know, being in great places. And I mean, I saw he had New Year's Eve with Dan Bilzerian. I mean, that's one we should have put in the contract, because I'd fancy that. But it's also about the you know, the fact that he lives for the sport. He really does. You know, it's, I know he has this side part, which, you know, as George at the press conference, I remember, famously called him Insta famous and all this here. But that's what something he seems to like doing as a hobby. But his life is boxing. You know, saw it in the WBSS. We've all seen, you know, his approach to training is second to none. You know, it really is. And it's, I think, you know, he's had a tough year in Corona times. I think that PBC did a great job before with him, with the DeGale fight. You know, smashed up DeGale, went on, fought Korobov, was unlucky in the way the fight ended, but he won. And you know, last year was a very tough year for everyone in boxing. So it's a new year. It's a very much a new start in terms of the focus is the UK. You know, like I said, he's one of the top five names in UK boxing. If you walk down the road and ask five names, Eubank Jr. is on that list. And if you look at the big events that have taken place in recent times, also in the UK, you know, he's fought James DeGale, he's fought George Groves, Billy Joe Saunders. These are all been massive, massive fights, you know. And the best part is the last one he also won, you know. I mean, the Billy Joe fight was an absolute classic, yeah. But I do think that 160 is also his weight. So very, very exciting times. There's a, you know, we can go on to opponents in a minute, potential opponents, but there's a list which is, you know, you'd have trouble to count it on two hands on what sort of a list you could come up with great fights for him.
What is the situation with, or is there a situation with him and Al Haymon? Do you know anything? Can you make any comment on that with Chris and Al?
No, I think they had a very good relationship. And I think that, you know, the fact that he's wanting to move on to Europe, I think it's a, you know, their contractual stuff has been sorted, I've been told, and I think it's all. I think they got on very well, and I think, like I said, I think he did a very good job for him in that time, you know. And you know, he's wanted to come back to the UK. I think, you know, PBC is obviously huge in the States, and you know, now we're looking at doing some stuff over here. Well, so I can't really comment on their relationship as such, but you know, we have a good relationship with PBC as well. And I'm, you know, maybe there's fights to do down the road as well, you know. So I can just comment now on what we're trying to do moving forward as of this Sunday we've announced. So now it's all nice announcing, but now it's about actually going out there and making the fight. So we're very active already on that path.
When I spoke to Chris back in November, he said that the plan was for him at that point was to get out and have in Chris's words, a big fight in December. Do you know why that didn't materialise?
I wouldn't know, Coogan. You'd have to ask him. That's a previous chapter. But you have to look at the changing dynamics over in the States on, you know, where it was possible, when it was possible. There's so many different things and so many. You know, I don't think there's any reflection on any bad part in his previous relationship. I just think last year was a very, very, very challenging year for everyone.
How instrumental has Senior, Chris's dad, been in the negotiations for this move?
Senior is always instrumental.
Of course, of course.
You know, Senior is Senior. You know, I grew up watching Senior on those famous big Saturday fight nights, and you know, so many great ones, but they definitely influenced me in a big way, not only in boxing, but also watching those big promotions, those ring entrances, you know, fantastic, you know. Actually at the weekend, border lockdown, I watched a few of the old senior ones, you know. Maybe we need to bring back that Simply the Best walking. Joking aside, that is, they're two very different characters, but if you had a father like Chris Eubank Sr., himself as a boxing icon, you know, boxing legend, you know, he's someone who's always going to figure around your life. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sr. was instrumental in the deal.
Opponents such as Charlo, which was being talked about for a while for Chris, I mean, that was kind of the main one. I know there's a few others, but that was Charlo was the fight that was being talked about, and obviously Charlo being a PBC fighter as well. Where does that fight stand at the moment?
No discussions are end on that at all. We haven't had any approaches either. You know, I think it's a great fight, but I think the fights that, you know, the top of our list is Golovkin, you know, absolutely the fight to make at 160, if you want to rule that division. You can talk about age or whatever, but he certainly didn't look old in December. And let's face it, he's the man to beat in the middleweights for the last 10 years. So that's the scalp everyone wants, you know, and Triple G's a legend. And I think that's a fight that could take place in the UK or the US. You know, it's a massive, massive fight. But there's others, you know, there's others. It's like I said before, there's so many. And let's talk through a few of them. I'll throw a few at you and see what you think. I mean, look, at a great one to make in the UK is Liam Williams. You know, I know he has a world title challenge now, but that's down the road. We don't know the WBA situation with Murata. Will there be, you know, will a unification be called? Chris is currently interim champ. You know, so Murata, another great fight. Cracking fight, you know, either in Japan or in the UK. Big, big fights. But I also think there's, you know, there's cheeky little ones to make. When I say little ones, I mean little big ones. You know, if you think UK, Kell Brook, you know, throw that at you. What do you think about that? You know, that's a blockbuster. Middleweight. I mean, it's, you know, it's been, you know, it's not that Kell is easily making weight. Everyone knows that. And it would, you know, and Kell's been in with Golovkin before and looked good, you know. So it's a cracking fight to make. These are off the cuff a bit, yeah. You know, Liam Smith, another interesting fight as well. There's very, very good fights to make in the UK. I haven't touched on Billy, because at the moment, Billy looks like he's going to fight Canelo, and he deserves that Canelo fight. So
that's still a big fight, though, isn't it? The rematch between Eubank and...
Of course it is. And, you know, we can all say it shouldn't happen, but dollars make sense, and that fight makes dollars. Yeah, that's a fact. I don't believe, when we're back to full stadiums, there's not a stadium, not arena, stadium in this country that would not take Billy Joe versus Eubank. That is a huge fight. Forget the fact that the first fight was a classic sporting-wise. I mean, it was a tale of two stories almost, the fight. It was an amazing battle between the two of them. But also the inevitable build-up, which is all part of professional boxing, the hype around that fight would be phenomenal. But right now, they're on very different paths. Billy looks like he's landing the fight in boxing. So that's great. And I think, you know, we've got to get Junior active. And that's what we'll focus on. But I'm saying, there's so many. Whether, you know, look at all the names I just mentioned. There's not a single one of those fights that's not big. You know, they're all big fights. You know, might be that... When we talk in the next days, that we say we need to take a tune up first is one option, but I think, you know, Junior and I know Senior will push as well. That they want the big fights, you know, that's for sure.
How many times would you ideally want to see Chris fight in 2021?
Depending if you go on the tune up route or not, I think two big fights for sure. two big fights for sure. And if you throw in a tune up three times, you know. But you know, he's a sort of fight when you promote him, you've also got to pull the reins in a bit. You know, they love activity. They haven't had activity. You know, they were hit hard by the pandemic in terms of their career. They lost last year and lost the year in terms of time. So now it's time to vamp up the engines and make up for that. I mean, we are still obviously in the middle of a pandemic. So, but it's now at a point when you can manage a little bit more the situation. It's not the unknowns that we had a year ago or 11 months ago.
Could you disclose how many fight deal this is, or over how many
years? It's a, you know, Miku, disclosure on a need to know basis and has severe penalties. But no, it's a long-term deal. It's a long-term deal. And it's a deal which allows us also to benefit of working long-term with a partner, you know? And I think that will be very important also in Chris in terms of having stability in a team, you know? And, you know, boxing things go up and down. I mentioned, you know, the George Groves example, you know, but we stuck together and we got our goal in the end. You know, it was a long battle with lots of ups and downs, lots of tears and bumps along the way. But in the end, it was happy days, you know, and that's just an example that's similar. But there's been so many of those stories that I've had in my 20, 25 years in boxing, as a promoter at least. You know, the thing is, there's lots of good talent, but this is talent that excites for many reasons. You know, he's got an edge to him, which you can't buy. You know, you can't fake. He is the way he is, and that you don't want to touch. That's authentic. You don't want to mess with that. That's his own persona. And it's, by the way, Senior had very much his own persona as well. They're not actually that similar, huh? But they're very similar in the fact they had these two personas. You know, I remember one probably the most striking image of remembering Chris and how cool the kid is was we're in Stuttgart in Germany, standing there in the ring, and there have been all sorts in the arena before, all sorts of problems between. There was a lot of Turkish gangs there. He's fighting Yildirim, who's now also the mandatory to Canelo, by the way, just when we talk about levels here. And it's a Galatasaray style welcome to hell atmosphere. There was actually banners welcome to hell in English. And music's gone. It's not the most spectacular walking, but I just remember him there, draped with his Union Jack over the shoulders, not much bravado about it, just standing there, and it was like the sea parted because all these hot-headed Turks going crazy, and they were almost shocked by the way he was just standing there, and so coolly walked into this ring. It was that ice cold. I thought, I don't know, is the man is clearly not under the influence, but he's got some serious swagger to walk through that crowd like that. I mean, it was, you know, we had tons of security, but it wasn't even that. It was more like he was the one part in the way. If you watch the walking, it's incredible. But having been there that night, it was such a ferocious atmosphere. The way he walked in, the way he got in the ring and did a job on him, which was, you know, which was showreel, you know, it was showreel stuff. And then you see him, he doesn't lift his arms when he wins, he just stands there. He does the old, you know, that of course has a touch of Senior. There you can see that the apple hasn't fallen far from the stem, but there is a different. He's got a different type of edge to him, you know, and that's something that is gold dust in terms of promotions, because That's something that infuriates people, or they love it. And either doesn't really matter. Bring on the love, but bring on the hate as well. Don't matter. It's about watching, you know? It's about people you want to watch. And people want to watch him. And it, you've seen it time and time again on the numbers he delivers. Absolutely fantastic.
Is he going to still base himself in the US? Is he going to return home?
Cool. It's early days in our working partnership, so you know, I know you're speaking to him as well, so you ask him that. At the end of the day, I need him to turn up for media events and for a show. Of course, I want to make sure he's prepared in the best possible way, but that's the sort of box of thing. I mean, there's a lot of fighters who train in other countries and fly over, you know, but you know, Junior's got his certain way. I know he's been very happy working with Roy Jones Jr.
Will he continue to work with Roy?
Say again?
Will he continue to work with Roy?
I have no idea. I mean, I assume so. I don't know any reason why he wouldn't. But I don't know how they're going to set up their training operation yet. That's sort of the fighters' thing to do. We're there for advice, of course. But that's down to them.
When do you anticipate him fighting, like what month? And will it be in the UK?
I think hopefully late March, April, probably more likely April now with the 6 week sort of lockdown that boxing has done here, which shoves everything as a calendar wise forward. So we've started our discussions, you know, I mean, a long time ago already. So I think realistically though, April is a good shout. And once again, depends a little bit on the route we go with tune-ups and with, you know, bigger fights. As I said, so many big fights for him to make this year. We need more than 12 months in the year, but you know, he's at his prime, he's at his peak, and then it's now.
You've outlined Golovkin as kind of the major target out of all those names. Have you
started? But Cook has to be. You couldn't disagree with something. The major target can't be Charlo. With all due respect, I mean, Charlo's a great champ, but he's not Golovkin. You know, Golovkin has ruled that roost for 10 years. Yeah? So if you're going to say, who do you want the biggest. You know, you want the biggest. You know, before all this shit happened and whatever, he just beat James Miguel, who was also one of the champs to beat at 168. So he's gone from that, and then he's obviously had this terrible year last year, which so many people have had. No, there's no blame on him there. But now it's time to build straight off that part. You know, it's the next chapter. It's the 160, you know, middleweight chapter.
My question to that was, have you spoken to Tom Loeffler about the possibility of this for this year? Has there been any conversations?
No. We have a great relationship with Tom Loeffler, though. I've known Gennady since he was training in Germany. You know, he's one of the nicest men you'll meet in boxing. So, you know, that's something that, Golovkin himself called out Eubank Jr. after the fight in December. So he called out, I think Eubank and one other opponent. And those who said were his wish fight. So listen, we're not saying, oh, we're delighted to be on the list. We should. Eubank Jr. is on that list for a reason. Yeah. He brings a position with him that he's established over several years, but also, this is the boxing business. He brings that razzmatazz with him. He brings that interest with him, you know? So you struggle to find me more than, like I said, top five UK asset. You show me someone that you could show me a list that makes him not be on that top five in terms of interest. Impossible. We all know it.
Okay. Well, look, I do at some point in another interview, maybe later on in the month, talk to you about the World Super Series.
Absolutely. Let's take that later in the month. Very, very, very active there. But it is early doors in the year. So later in the month, we will have a catch-up, Coop.
But what I will ask you about is any movement on Hergovic and Michael Hunter, which was talked about a lot before the
I don't know. I mean, Hunter then started announcing fights. So I think that one is the train's left the station. We've made it very clear that Bacoli's the fight. Bacoli's the fight that Philip wants now. So, you know, the offers went out to Hunter, and you know, he also was very inactive. So maybe he wants to take a couple of fights before he fight Philip. He'd be advised to do that. But now that train left the station. It's now Bacoli. That's the name that is on the table. As long as they say yes, I think we have that fight on in the next couple of months.
It's a great fight. We look forward
to it. Great fight. Absolutely cracking fight. In terms of punching ability, more exciting than the Hunter fight, you know? So it's a great fight. It's a great heavyweight fight for the first couple of months of this year. So that's brilliant news.
Okay. Well, Mr. Salen, thank you very much for your time. Yes, we're hopefully catching up with Mr. Eubank Jr. a little bit later on. Is there anything you'd like to add before we finish, my friend?
Just like to say that when you talk about the Eubank for this year, mark my words, in the middleweights, this is the year of the Eubank.
All right. We'll look forward to it.
Cool. I'm still baffled by the outfit in mid-January in Essex, you know. I need one of those MTK vests. Very, 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 very trendy.
Carlo, that's all I can say. I'm warm here because the heating bill was paid this month, so I am warm.
I'm still putting the coins in the meter. I don't know how many I've got put in.
This is my home attire, so, you know, it is what it is. Carlo, thank you for catch up. We'll have another catch up towards the end of the month and we'll talk about...
Absolutely.
Hang on.
Big year for the WBSS as well. Massive year. So looking forward to that and, you know, stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.